Amen. Oh, it is so exciting what the Lord has in mind for his people. Great things, great things, great things. The Lord will surprise us. The Lord will do amazing things in our lives. Amen. The Bible says, eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. I hope you know the Lord loves you. I hope you are sure of that. That's not something we should be thinking about. We should be sure. The Lord loves me. Amen? And no matter what's going on in the world, and no matter what's going on around us, the Lord loves us. And he will do amazing things in our lives. Amen? All right, go back with me, please, to Psalm 23. The Lord, our good shepherd, my good shepherd, provides preservation. He preserves us. There are six major things that the good shepherd does for the sheep: direction, provision, restoration, protection, preservation, promotion. And last week, we started studying preservation, how the Lord preserves us as his people. I know it has already been announced, but at the end of this service, we want to have communion. So I encourage you to please get your elements. If you're at home, get them ready, because we're going to share communion together. We're going to come around that covenant and just lay hold of what the Lord has for us. Amen. All right. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, I like this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Can we all just say verse 6 together, everybody? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can we say it just one more time, please? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. In the Amplified version of the Bible, it says, surely, or only, goodness, mercy, and unfailing love. A lot of that is talking about the favor of God. His goodness, his mercy, and his unfailing love, a lot of times come together to make what we describe as the favor of God. The favor of God, his goodness, his mercy. Like he said in Numbers chapter 6, when he says, the priest said, the Lord will lift his face upon you, lift his countenance upon you. That means he will give you favor. That means the Lord will favor you. He will favor your righteous cause. The favor of the Lord will be upon your life. The favor of God will be upon your family. Amen. One of the ways that the Lord sees to it that our lives are preserved, and that our well-being is preserved, and that our inheritance is preserved, and that his blessings over our lives, his promises are preserved, and the things that he has given to us are preserved, is by his favor. By his favor. The psalmist said, by his favor, he makes me stand strong. Hallelujah. Say, by his favor, he causes me to see and enjoy life. Amen. Amen. And so, I want us to press in a little bit further today and talk about how the Lord preserves us, the promises that he has made. So I'm not going to do too much of reviewing, but a couple of scriptures we read from last week. And if you were not... If you were not privileged to be with us online in our service last week, we have the recording on our website. I think it's there on the different platforms, our website, YouTube, Facebook, and you know, so you can access it. But I think, I personally believe, you know, I may have said that about other messages, I don't know. But I personally believe this message about how the Lord, the Good Shepherd, preserves us as his people is one of the most important messages that a believer ought to have a revelation of. I believe it is extremely important because we live in such an unpredictable world. And life, a lot of times, is topsy-turvy. You know, you may be up tomorrow, today, but you may be down tomorrow. You may be down today, but you may be up tomorrow. Nothing, like people say, the only thing that is really certain in the world is change. You know, and no matter what we have going on in our lives, you know, change is bound to happen. Amen. But you know, through all the ebbs and the flows of life, one thing remains. His love never changed. Hallelujah. His love will never change. And it doesn't matter where you are. You may be on the top of the mountain, or you may be in the valley low, deep valley low. But this psalm right here tells us his love will never change. It's the same love of God that was there with the sheep when he was there in the green pastures, with all the provisions that comes with the green pastures. It's the same love that was there available to that sheep when he was by the still waters. It's the same love that was there by the sheep when his soul was restored. It was the same love that was available to this sheep when he walked through the valley of the shadow of death. It's the same love that was available to this sheep when he sat before the table and God prepared a table before him in the presence of his enemies. It's the same love that was available to this sheep when his oil, the oil of gladness, was poured upon his life and he enjoyed the blessings of overflow. Is the same love. And then at the end of the day, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days, whether days in the green pastures, days by the still waters, days in the valley of the shadow of death, days, whatever, days confronted by the enemy, days, you know, I'm so excited. I'm so just deeply excited about the revelations these scriptures are pregnant with. No wonder Psalm 23 is one of the greatest, one of the most powerful psalms that David ever wrote. Amen. That his love never changes. His love for you will never change. His love for you will never change. And I want you to be sure of that. I want you to have a deep conviction of that. If I could lift it out of my heart, how strong it is, and transpose it to your heart, I will do that. I just want you to have a deep assurance within you. No matter what, the winds will blow, the rain will fall, sun will shine, but his love will always be yours. His love would always be set upon you. You would always be like the apple of his eyes. His countenance will always be lifted up towards you. You know, God seeks nothing more than to do you good. God just wants to do you good. All the days of your life, God doesn't have days of evil planned for you or for me. No. God doesn't have days of evil. God doesn't have like days he has blocked out on his calendar. Like, okay, between April 5 and April and May 16, let's just make these days of evil for Joshua. No, not God. Hallelujah. The only thing in his heart for his children is good. Hallelujah. But remember, we live in a real world. And because we live in a real world, and the Bible says, Jesus said, tribulation, that's trouble, pressure, adversity, is resident in this real world where we live. He says things will happen. But those things that happen do not affect the love of God for us. This is why these scriptures mean so very much to me. And I trust God that you will continually get the revelation that is in this word that the Lord has given to us. All right, so this is Psalm 23, and then we went to Numbers 6. We looked at that priestly benediction, the Aaronic blessing. Numbers 6:24, it says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. And I really like it because the Amplified breaks it down, as he usually does. The Lord bless you and watch, guard, and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and enlighten you and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor to you. The Lord lift up his approving countenance upon you and give you peace, tranquility of heart, and life continually. And they shall put my name upon the Israelites, and I will bless them. And then, of course, we were there in Psalm 121, where the psalmist wrote extensively about the Lord preserving his people. Psalm 121, he said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will not slumber or sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is your shade upon your right hand. Even those parts of you that seem vulnerable and unprotected, the Lord will shade them. He's your shade upon your right hand. The Lord, the sun, will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will preserve you from all evil. The Lord will preserve your soul. Hallelujah. The Lord will preserve your soul. The Lord will preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I really like verse 7. I did spend a couple of minutes there last week. And I'm not going to spend that much time there. I just want to go to our new materials today. But it says, the Lord will preserve you from all evil, and he will preserve your soul. Like we said, God preserving us is way beyond protection. This is not just protection. It's not just physical. The Lord will preserve our spirit, soul, and body. He will see to it that all is well with you. One extremely blessed scripture that I like to read in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says that the God of peace sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit, your entire spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. Be preserved blameless. And I love verse 24 because it says, if you put that up for me, just so I don't spend much time in my Bible here, faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. Could you put that up for us in the Amplified, please, verse 24? Faithful is he who is calling you to himself, and he is utterly trustworthy. He will also do it. What? Do what? He will fulfill his call by hallowing and keeping you. Hallelujah. He will fulfill his call. He's the one who called you. He's the one who called you. When he called us out, he called us out to go to a place that we have never been before. And he's committed to taking us there. Do you know God is committed to taking us there? That's why he will keep us in the land of the living. That is why it is so important that we understand the basic principles of the preservation of the Lord. I'm very excited about this message, about this revelation, because again, a lot of times, I believe just having that knowledge, having that understanding, having that empowering revelation in our lives will carry us through the valleys of the shadow of death that we go through in life. I believe that this revelation will carry us through the tormenting seasons, but it would also enable us and help us reign supreme in the victorious seasons of life. Amen. Amen. So he says, he who called you, he's faithful. He's faithful. Do you know what that means? It means God is never going to go back on his word. God is never, ever going to renege on what he promised you. He's never going to change his mind. He's never going to stop. He's never going to stop pouring out his love. He's never going to stop taking care of you. Amen. I'm deeply blessed by the way the Lord makes preparation for his people. I'm extremely blessed by how the fact that God, long before you came into today, God already prepared for your today. Long before you get into tomorrow, God has already prepared your tomorrow. And I'm here to let you know, it's a good preparation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He told them in the Old Testament, I'm taking you to a good land. That's what he always told them. I'm taking you to a good land. I'm taking you to... They had never been there. All through those years, they were suffering in Egypt. He kept telling them, I'm taking you to a good land. I'm taking you to a good land. A land that flows with milk and honey. I prepared that land for you. In fact, like I said last week, beginning with the first patriarch of faith, Abraham, when the Bible called him out, the Bible says he called him out and says, I'm going to take you to a land that you have never, a land that you have never been, a land that I will show you, and in that land, you will be blessed. You will be blessed, and you will be a blessing. Now, let's read a few scriptures here. I didn't do a very good job of making sure I mentioned, just for the benefit of, you know, whoever was not with us last week. Just so let me do like 3 more minutes of that. So the shepherd preserves the sheep. God will preserve you. His goodness, mercy, favor will follow you, not just for today, but forever. God has a plan for your today, your tomorrow, and all the days of your life. All will be well with you. Amen. Can you say that with me? All will be well with me. We learned last week to protect, to preserve means to protect, watch over, guard, attend to, help, secure, mark, tend, nurture, keeps, I like that nurture one, keeps safe, saved, and healthy, ensure total well-being always. Amen? Then he says, we said you have a grand future in Christ. We read quite a number of scriptures in that. Ephesians 2:10, Jeremiah 29:11. The Lord is perfecting and is completing and is fulfilling everything that concerns every area of our lives. We read Psalms 138 verse 8. And I like the prayer that David prayed. He said, Lord, don't what you started, finish it in me. Don't quit on me now. Amen. And he's pulling on the faithfulness of God in saying that. God's preservation plan will ensure that your future is better than your past. Your latter end will be better than your beginning. All will be well with you. It gets better for you as you go. Your end will be far better than your beginning. You will end up far better than you started. Help me, Holy Spirit. You will end up far better you started. I didn't get to read Ecclesiastes 8, and I still wouldn't read it today, but you can write it down if you want to study some of this stuff out. But the Bible says that that is a rule, it's a law, that the end of a thing is always better than the beginning. That's a law, it's a rule, it's a law, it's a rule, it's a law of the universe, that as a child of God, if you walk with God, if you serve God, if you walk in covenant with him, the end of a thing has to be better than the beginning. Your latter days cannot be worse than your former. It is a rule, it's a supernatural law that the glory of the latter house always surpasses the former. It is a rule, it is a law. So if you look at the picture of your life from yesterday and you close your eyes and imagine what your life is going to be tomorrow, tomorrow will be better. Tomorrow will be absolutely better. There is absolutely no doubt, no question about it. I don't care what happens. I don't care if the world turns upside down. I don't care what happens anywhere around you, anywhere around the world. Your future will be better than your past. It is a rule. It is a law. And God will establish it. I know we read Proverbs 4:18 where it says the path of the just is as a light, a shining light that shines brighter and brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. So your path as you keep going, and the Bible assures us of this, your path as you keep going gets brighter, it keeps getting brighter, your life keeps getting better. Amen. 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 Remember earlier on in this message, I didn't do that last week. I didn't get to that. I was giving you foundation last week. But keep in mind, when I started out earlier today, I started talking a lot about the favor of God. The reason your tomorrow will be better than your past is because you are a child of favor. The favor of God is upon you. And the favor of God is like the rain. Amen. It brings wetness to every dryness. The favor of God is like sunshine. The favor of God is what breaks famine. It breaks dryness. It breaks yokes. The favor of God will translate you. Think about how the favor of God worked in the life of Joseph. Think about how the favor of God brought him from a place where nobody thought he was anything. They were going to sell him. They actually did sell him. His brother sold him out. But the Bible says he was preserved by the favor of God. The favor of God preserved his life and saw to it that his future was better than his past. The favor of God is upon you. The favor of God is upon you. You are a child of favor. You are a child. One of the reasons why God put his favor on mankind, on his people, is to see to it that their future is better than their past. Is that they enter into all that God has ordained for them. Say, thou, O God, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him like a shield, he says in Psalm chapter 5. Thou, O God, you will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him like a shield. And I think in Psalm 102 or something where he says, this is, well, how does he say it? He says, this is the set time for the, what's that scripture? How does that scripture go? He says, that, let me look for it. Let me read Psalm 102. This is the set time to favor Zion. Thank you. Let me read it. Help me, Holy Spirit, here. What's that scripture now? Psalm 102. Thank you. 102 verse 13. Thou shalt arise. Actually, read from verse 12. Thou, O Lord, you will endure forever, and your remembrance unto all generations. You will arise, and you will have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is now, is right now. And the favor of God upon you will make you beautiful in your latter days. This is why your glory, the glory of your latter house, has to be better. This is why you are like wine. The older you get, the better you taste. Amen. Because the favor of God will beautify you. The favor of God will alight over you and shine upon you. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Somebody's laughing at me. I may have said something wrong. I don't know, but still, like, is that not the saying, like, you are like wine? Is that not what they say? Is that a good saying? Is that a universal saying? Something like that? Like the older you get, the better. Okay, it's fine. So I need somebody's remembering their wine drinking days or something. They're getting tipsy in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, wine. Glory to God. Amen. All right. Okay, let's just stay in the word, okay? Let's just stay in the word. Amen. 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 So the favor. So keep in mind, I'm going to say one or two more things about the favor of God. Help me, Holy Spirit. I have ground here. But I want you to quickly go now. Let's start rushing. Not rush too much, but let's rush a little bit so we can cover some good ground. Go to Genesis 45. I started talking about Joseph, right? Talking about Joseph. I want you to read this in Genesis 45. Let's read from verse 4. It said, Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, who you sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, don't be grieved or angry with yourselves that you sold me here. For God did send me before you to preserve life. God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been great in the land, but there are still 5 more years to go. Think about this, folks. This tickles me every time. I can't tell you how many times I've read this scripture in the last 1 week. It still tickles me. I can't read beyond like the third verse I read to you there and not stop and start giggling in my spirit. Amen. Think about this, folks. There's a 7-year famine coming on. There's a 7-year famine coming on. And more than 10 years before that famine, more than 10 years before the onset of that famine, God put things in place to preserve the life of his people. I can't tell you how much it tickles me. I can't tell you how much it makes me giggle. When I every time I read that scripture, I read the second verse there, and I stop, and I just, you know, I just start, I guess I just get in the spirit or something. I don't know what it is. I just get excited. Like, God saw this famine coming, and more than 10 years before then, he started putting things in place in the natural to prepare posterity for his people. To prepare posterity. Joseph said, already we've had 2 years of this famine, but it's not over yet. There's going to be 5 more years of it. He said, but don't worry. God sent me ahead of you. Oh, Oh, excuse me for getting emotional. Sometimes it makes me want to cry. Like, God saw it several years ahead. He saw that famine. You know, sometimes people say, but let's pray against the famine. He didn't get people to pray against the famine. This famine was going to come. But what did he do? He made a preparation for his people. Even when they didn't know it. Even when they didn't know it. Do you know there's nothing that happens in your life? That's why God can guarantee you. That's why that psalmist can say, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you know nothing? There's nothing that can happen in your life. There's nothing ahead that God has not seen. Help me, Holy Spirit. I need to make good time with this message. There is nothing coming that God did not foresee. It didn't mean you had to know about it. There are many things God never tells us about. It didn't mean you had to see it. Some people say, well, if God really loved me, he would have shown me. No, if he showed you, he may have gone another direction and missed his preservation plan. That's why. There are many things the Lord doesn't show us. Many things. What he does, though, he prepares. He just prepares. Let's stay in the word. Let's stay in the word. So for these 2 years, the famine has been in the land. And yet there are still 5 more years of this famine. And there will be neither earing, that is, there will be no reaping of fruits, nor harvest. He said, but God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. He said, so now it was not you that sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh. And Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. He says, so hasten now and go up and go tell my father. Say to him, thus saith thy son Joseph. That father didn't even know his son was still alive. Go tell him, Joseph is sending him this message. God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down now to me. I want you to read further here. Look at this next verse. He says, you will dwell. Watch this now. You will dwell in the land of Goshen. You will dwell in the land of Goshen. Somebody say Goshen. Say that word with me, Goshen. Do you know, Goshen was a land God prepared in the land of Egypt. God carved out Goshen for the nurturing of his people while the famine was going on. This is again, do you know, remember what happened when that angel of death came? And he said, if you put the blood on the lintels of that angel will pass over you. This land of Goshen was a land that was totally, totally kept from the prevailing environmental circumstances. Goshen never experienced famine. In these 7 years of famine in the land, Goshen didn't know famine. Goshen never knew famine. All of Egypt, the entire land, this famine was so bad, it came to a point in time when all the people started coming to Joseph. They said, you know what? We're ready to give you everything we have. Just give us some food. Just give us some food because we've exhausted everything. Just give us some food. We don't have any food. Just give us food. Everybody everywhere was feeling this famine, but the children of God in Goshen did not feel it.
Amen. Glory.
The children of God in Goshen did not feel it. You know why? Because God preserved a posterity for them. It's not because they prayed more. It's not because they fasted more. It's because he is the good shepherd. Amen. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, 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 forever. This is why nurturing is very important. It's why nurturing is very important at every level. Sheep cannot be nurtured. Sheep cannot be preserved. Help me, Holy Spirit. Sheep cannot be preserved without nurturing. Sheep cannot be preserved without nurturing. Joseph said, God sent me, and now you will dwell with me in the land of Goshen, and I will nurture you, he said. I will nurture you. And by nurturing you, I will preserve you. And the Bible says in Hosea, I think it's Hosea chapter 12, I think it's verse 13. He said, by a prophet, Israel was delivered from Egypt. And by a prophet, he was preserved, he says. And actually, it's not by the human vessel prophet, but by the ministry of the prophetic word. So if you actually go back to verse 10 in Hosea chapter 12, it says there in verse 10, it says God spoke through the ministry and he multiplied visions and multiplied. So God put, this is amazing to me, this is amazing. God put within certain vessels that he picked along the way, God will prepare. And it's not, the focus is not on the vessel. This Joseph was a prophetic vessel. God used this Joseph to preserve the life of his family, the entire family. God used Moses to preserve the Israelites when they were going through the wilderness. God used Joshua. I mean, right through the ages, God will create. This is why nurturing is important. That is your pasture, the pastures God gives you. The pasture, the words, the nurturing that you receive is what will preserve you. The nurturing you receive. Help me, Holy Spirit, to get to it at some point. This is why sheep don't choose their pasture. God picked the pasture. Because he has put words out in the atmosphere. Think about that woman I spoke to you about last week. That woman's son could have been dead forever. But she ran. She said, drive me quickly. Drive me quickly. Drive me quickly. Because she knew where the pasture was. See, notice the emphasis is on the pasture. The emphasis is on God's preparation. It's very important that I say some of these things. Because I think in a hurry to get through and complete messages and to finish, you know, we leave some things unsaid and sometimes we leave the wrong impression. Listen, the emphasis is the preparation that God has made. There is a word each of us needs in our seasons of life that will preserve us. There is a word. That's why God takes the time to prepare where we get that word. He prepares that word because those words are pointers. Those words assure us. Those words tell us when to go right, when to go left. He said it was by the ministry of a prophet that God brought Israel out of Egypt. And it was through the ministry of a prophet that God preserved them. It's not, what he's saying is through the word. And like I said, if you look in verse 10, he talked about God spoke through. It's his words. It's the words he spoke through those prophets. That's the emphasis. I know across the body of Christ, you know, sometimes the emphasis is put somewhere else. The emphasis may be put on the physical human vessel, like the prophet. No, that was not God's emphasis. That's why God took Moses. When Moses was done, God said to Moses, okay, Moses, you are done here, but I'm still going to get my people to the promised land. You won't get there, but I'm still going to get my people there. So it was not Moses. It was not Moses. After Moses, there was a Joshua. And after Joshua, there would be others. You know, there was this lapse. But after this lapse, then God started raising them up. And Deborah, and Gideon, and Barak, and all of these people. I mean, God will always channel his prophet, because that is how he preserves his people. That's how he preserves his sheep. Think about it. Sheep cannot be healthy. Sheep cannot do well unless they have proper nurturing. Sheep cannot do well unless they have proper nurturing. Let's go here quickly because of time. He says, so the Lord, he says, so you will dwell with me. What verse is this now? Verse 10. He said, you will dwell with me in the land of Goshen, and you will be near unto me, you and your children, and your children's children, and your flocks, and your herds, and everything you have. Watch verse 11. And there I will nourish you. There I will nourish you. For yet there are 5 years of this famine, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty. God will preserve your life from poverty. Poverty will not derail you. Poverty will not ravish your dreams. Ravish? Is that ravish? That good English word? I need people to help me here because I'm just speaking. Now I stop thinking, I'm just preaching. So there might be somebody online who's very upset that I'm just speaking all these words that I don't afford. Please forgive me. I'm just preaching. I'm not even thinking. But poverty will not ravage. Is it ravage? It will not ravage your destiny. Why? Because the good shepherd will preserve you. He will preserve you. Psalm 16 said, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance. He maintains my lot. The lines, the boundary lines are falling onto me in pleasant places. Hallelujah. 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 I'm not supposed to preach this. I'm not supposed to preach. I'm not supposed to preach. I'm not allowed to preach. Not this message. Hallelujah. The Lord will nurture you. He will preserve you. He will protect you. He will keep you. All right. Before I tell you the 5 ways through which the shepherd, I got to do it in time, quick, the way the shepherd preserves the sheep, I want you to look at Abraham. See, God always makes preparation. How many of these scriptures can I see? I'm not sure. God always makes preparation. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to look at a couple of verses here. Remember that scripture where it says, Abraham was looking for here it is, verse 9, start from verse 8, Hebrews 11 verse 8. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he went. The man didn't know where he was going. He had no idea. His grandson Jacob had a similar, I'm going to come back here in a minute. His grandson Jacob had a similar experience in Genesis chapter 28. He was going out and he had this experience. You all know this scripture where he met God, right, in Beersheba. And he had this dream and he saw God in this vision. And the Lord The Lord, he said to God, you know, he was telling him, God, if you will keep me. But the Lord, he made a promise to him. I think it's verse Genesis 28. Just put it up. Let's not go all the way there. Let's look at 15, verse 15. Let's see what that says. And behold, that's it. And behold, I am with you, and I will keep you in all places that you go, and I will bring you again into this land, for I will not leave you until I have done everything that I have spoken to you of. You guys have the message. Can you put up the message? Just that verse in the message, please. Message translation. Yes, I will stay with you. I will protect you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this very ground. I will stick with you until I have done everything I promise you. Do you know how many years this promise took to fulfill in the life of Jacob? Do you know this is a big promise to make? To say, I will go with you everywhere you go. But one thing is not going to change. The final destination, I get to choose. The final destination, I get to choose. And as long as you cooperate with me and you let me choose that final destination, I will bring you back. No matter what happens, wherever you go, I will see to you. Do you know for 20 solid years, this man was suffering in his father-in-law's house. The man was using him. First of all, he said he would give him his daughter, but he went and swapped the daughter. Suddenly, in the middle of the night, Jacob woke up and he thought it was Rachel. Some people are shaking their legs like, don't go there. Okay, I won't go there. I'm going to pull right back. I'm going to stay in the world. I don't know how he found out, but because there was no light or anything, he just suddenly found out, wait a minute, it's Rachel. When we go out, you know, like we go by the pond, you know, we run around. I know that voice. I know. But this is not Rachel. This is not Rachel. Oh, Lord have mercy. Glory to God. But stay in the word. But do you know, in spite of all that, do you know God kept his word? God brought him right back to this land. In spite of all the cheating he endured, in spite of all the things his uncle Laban did, all the things that happened to him in this 20, 30 year span. And then finally, at the end of that, he started hearing word. His twin brother is coming to meet with him. And in the course of that, he met this angel on the way. You remember that's when he wrestled with that angel. I will not let you go unless you bless me. And the man said, now you're a prince. I changed your name. You're a prince. Through all of that, do you know God finally brought him to this same land? God finally brought him to this same land. Child of God, help me, Holy Spirit. I just want you to know God's plan for your life will be fulfilled. Amen. There's nothing on this earth. There's no devil. There's no change. There are no circumstances. Nothing that has been designed already or that is still in the process of being designed that can alter the eternal plan of God for you. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. 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 No
matter what goes up, no matter what comes down, surely goodness and mercy. Surely goodness. His favor is a shield around you. God will carry you. And I'm not allowed to preach this, but allow me to say it to you with all the passion that I can, with all the knowledge and the conviction that I have. Because I know this for a truth. I know this for a fact, that God will never let go of you. God will never lose his grip on you. I don't care what happens. I don't care where you've been and where you've gone and what you've done and what. I don't care about all that. I just know if you will allow him, if you will walk with him, if you will hold on to his coattails, if you will go where he says to go, if you will stop when he says stop, if you will move when he says move, God will fulfill his word in your life. It doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter the ups and the lows and the highs and the downs of life. God will perfect his plan concerning you. Somebody say amen. Say amen. Say amen. Say amen. Put your hands on your heart. Say in the name of Jesus, I receive that. I receive that. I receive that. I receive that. God's plan for my life will not be altered by anything. God's plan for my life is forever fixed. He will perfect everything that concerns me. No matter the changes of life, no matter what happens, the Lord will bring me to his set place, to his set destination. Hallelujah. He will bring me to the city. He is the builder. Glory to God. He is the builder. He is the maker. He's the foundation of that city. And he built it for me. He prepared that city for me. And I know he will take me there in the name of Jesus. There's a good land in your future. I said that to you. There's a good land in your future. There's a good land in your future. There's a good land in your future. And God is going to take you there. God is going to take you there. He will never lose his grip on you. Let's come back here and try to close this. Abraham, by faith, he sojourned. It was 11, Hebrews 11, verse 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For, verse 10, for he looked for a city. He looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He said in the Amplified, he was waiting expectantly and confidently, looking forward to the city which has fixed and firm foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Do you know God has prepared a city for you? I don't know about you, but several years ago, the revelation that this scripture brought into my life, I found myself starting to say, I don't want the city that I build with my own hands. I want the one that the hand of God built. I want the city where he himself made the foundation. He laid the foundation of that city. And he put my name on the gates. He put my name on the gate. That's my inheritance. He said, that is mine. That's the city I want. That's the city I want. Abraham said, he said, he looked, the Bible said, he looked for that city. He looked for, that is, there is a future designed for you in God. There is a future prepared for you in God. He was so convinced about it. He was so committed to it. And God was committed to preserving him. He said, verse 14, they that say such things, they declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Verse 15, but now they desire
a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he himself, God himself, prepared them a city. God himself. Just think for a minute. I know I got to try to close and time is going here. I hope you are not bored at home. We're just having a lot of fun out here. It's really amazing. Can you imagine when God prepared the city of Goshen for the children of Israel? Can you imagine Jacob saying, I'm not going? Can you imagine Jacob saying, no, unless all the... Which he actually said to start with. But his sons said to him, look, we don't have a choice in this thing. Can you imagine Jacob saying, no, I'm not going to Goshen. I don't believe in Goshen. I'm going to design my own Goshen. Oh, no. God himself was the architect of Goshen. He built Goshen for the children. He himself built that Goshen. He used the children of Egypt to build it, but he was the architect of it. He built that Goshen. And when he built Goshen, he had places set. This is going to be Jacob's house. This will be Judah's. This will be Simon's. He built the city. And in that city, there was no famine. In that city, there was no sickness. In that city, there was no death. In that city, there was no poverty. There was poverty everywhere. But in Goshen, where God built. So what am I trying to say to you? Let's try to close. What am I trying to say to you? God has a prepared future for you. God has a prepared future for you. And it's a good future. Folks, it's a good land. It's a land of promise. It's a land where all your dreams will be fulfilled. It's a land. It's not a geographical land. Natural. I'm talking about a living in a sphere of life. In a place in life. Where the Lord himself fulfills all of your dreams. The Lord himself causes your mouth to be amazed, to be filled with laughter. Because you are amazed at what the Lord has done. It is beyond belief. It is beyond belief. I'm prophesying to you. I don't know who you are. And I don't know what circumstances are like around you. I don't know what you've seen or what you've heard. I don't know what you've had to deal with. But I'm saying to you, on the authority of the word of God, I'm speaking this prophetic word to you, that God has a place that is prepared for you. He has a city. He himself is the architect of that city. He's built it and he will preserve your life. He will take you everywhere. Where you go and bring you to that city, and it will fulfill your dreams, it will fulfill your purpose, it will fulfill his word in your life, in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. How does he do it? Let me just give you this and then take communion. There are five ways the good shepherd preserves us. I'm not going to read these scriptures. I'll just tell you these five. You can write them down. You can be sure one of these Wednesdays, I'm coming back to teach on this. You can be sure of that. So I'm just going to throw you the points and trust God that you can go study it out. How does the good shepherd preserve us? Number one, he directs us into the future he has prepared. He directs us into the future he has prepared. So our job is to follow him into that future. Commit to follow the Lord into your future. Tell the Lord, I've never been into tomorrow, but you have, and I trust you. So I'm going with you. Wherever you say turn, I'll turn. Wherever you say go, I'll go. Wherever you say stop, I'll stop. I'm committed to following you. Follow him. He directs us into the future he has prepared. Number two, you see that with Abraham, by the way. Number two, he feeds us and nourishes us. And he keeps us well nourished spiritually, emotionally, and physically. That's how he preserves us. He feeds and nourishes us. He keeps us well nourished spiritually, emotionally, and physically. How does he do it? He provides pasture. He provides pasture for us and sends us his prophetic words periodically in seasons of our lives. You may want to write this scripture down. 1 Kings 9. I think it should be 19. I have 9 in my notes, but I believe it should be 19. 1 Kings 19. Many people remember when Elijah was running from that woman, Jezebel, who was trying to kill him. God was committed to preserving his life. Elijah was running, right? Many people remember that one angel came and met Elijah while Elijah was sleeping under the juniper tree. And he told him, woke him up and said, wake up, eat. He said, eat. So he argued a little bit. He said, no, eat, because the journey ahead of you is very long. Eat, start eating. How does God preserve our lives? He nourishes us. Eat, eat. He said, eat. He gave him angel food. Okay, Elijah ate the first portion. Go read that scripture if you don't believe me. He ate the first portion. He wanted to go back to sleep. The angel said, you are not done. I brought seconds for you. Seriously, stress in the word of God. He said, I brought seconds. He said, eat more. He said, because the journey ahead of you is too long. Eat. How did God preserve Elijah's life? Eat. Eat. Provided nourishment. Nurturing. God can't preserve our lives outside of his word. His word is angel food. His word is what carries us. His very word is the breath in our lungs. His very word is the strength in our lives. And the Bible says, Elijah, when he ate that food, and he went in the strength of that food, the Bible says. He went in the strength of that food. So he feeds us. Number three, he protects us. He protects us. We read about Jacob. The Lord said, I'll protect you. I'll keep you and I'll bring you back to this land. We've already heard a lot about protection. Number four, he helps us. Capital, H-E-L-P-S. He helps us. Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord God, who made the heavens and the earth. How does he preserve us? He helps us in seasons of our lives. He comes to our side to aid us when we need his help. He's our high priest. He's our high priest. The Bible says he's able to run to our aid, to help us. Do you know there are times when you just don't even know what to do? Do you know there are times you just have absolutely no idea how to respond in life and to life situations? That's when your high priest comes to your aid to help you. He comes to help you. He comes to help you. Because by giving you help, he's preserving you. He's telling you, this is not over here. There is a way out. There's a way out. There's a way out. And finally, number five, he puts his favor, his goodness, and his mercy upon us. We've read that. In Acts chapter 7, verse 9, the Bible says, 9 and 10, the Bible says, even though Joseph's brothers sold him, the Bible says, yeah, God gave him favor. And by his favor, God preserved his life. And God took him to the land that he had promised. Amen.